Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York presents It's a Wonderful Life, live from WVL Radio Theater through December 22nd. Based on the classic Frank Capra film, the story comes to life as a live 1940s radio broadcast. Five actors give voice to all the memorable Bedford Falls characters, accompanied by sound effects and music created live on stage. We are joined now by actor Wynn. Harmon Wynn, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You play Maze,
yes.
But that also means you play a number of It's a Wonderful Life characters. Tell me about it.
Right. So normally this radio station puts on a Christmas broadcast with many, many actors. But on this particular night, there's a snowstorm and a lot of them are not able to get to the station in time to do the broadcast.
The fictional station, WVL.
Yes, WVL, the fictional station. And so a few people do show up. Two are actors and two are administrative people, and they decide that in order to save the broadcast, they're just going to go ahead and do it. So everyone's going to have to play many parts and do all the sounds, which we call Foley in mm-hmm. our show. There's a little bit of live music, so we have two live musicians. But what happens is the act of doing that, even when people are terrified at first, proves to them that they can pull it off. And actually, the message of It's a Wonderful Life helps you focus on your impact in the world and what is wonderful about everyday things. So it turns out to be a great triumph for them, and they save the radio station.
Great. So your character, Maze, is what before he has to be all the people?
He's a character actor, seasoned character actor, and he plays one role.
Okay.
Bert, the cop. And he sort of talks like this. So then they say to him, okay, no, you have to play 15 parts now. So anyone who knows It's a Wonderful Life, I play Mr. Gower, the druggist. I play Mr. Potter. I play Clarence, the angel. So many, many different characters. So it's a lot of fun to do. And we change our voice and we have a lot of sounds in the background, which help tell the story.
How did you work up all the different voices?
Well, of course, I watched the movie over and over and over. And, you know, the great thing about this and a lot of shows is there's a moment where any audience, once they know that a story has started, kind of forgives that there aren't enough actors or that they're not actually seeing the literal props or places. And they become like children in the dark, and they're sort of listening, and they say, okay, tell me a story. So it's up to us to use our voices in different ways and to kind of portray these different people. So I was inspired by the movie, but also just the joy of storytelling.
How did you come to be a part of this production? You've been at Capret before.
This is my fifth time here, and I really love it there. I think that they are a very sincere organization, and it's great to be part of their last season in that space after all these years before they open their new theater right down the street. So that's great. But I live in Manhattan, and Maggie Mancinelli Cahill, mm-hmm. the artistic director, and Margaret Hall, the director of our show, came down to New York and saw a bunch of actors. And actually, four of the actors, there are two musicians who live in Syracuse, but the four actors all came up from Manhattan to spend my birthday, Thanksgiving, and Christmas season here. So it's kind of great because we all get along so well, and we're having a great time.
Can you tell me about your castmates?
Yes. Lori Wells plays opposite me. She would be the character actor. She's sort of the bombshell of the radio station, and she's a wonderful actress. And a lovely person. And Elizabeth Nesselrode is also, she plays the daughter of the owner of the station, and she's good at everything. And she secretly watched all these broadcasts over the years from behind the scenes, mouthing along with the actors, and this is her chance suddenly. And then Carl Howell plays the Foley expert, the sound technician. And it's his idea to kind of save the station by going through with a broadcast against all odds. And he is the Foley artist normally.
Okay.
But he's secretly been in love with the daughter of the radio station. So he plays George Bailey and she plays Mary. And they kind of, I think the act of putting this show together emboldens everybody. And they kind of either step forward and prove that they're a good actor or they profess their love for each other. So there's a little bit of love intrigue going on underneath the story, too.
That's fun. Is he responsible for all the Foley, or does everybody take on some of it in this?
Normally he is, but because he's taken on the part of George Bailey, we all have to do the Foley. So there's
that
a lot
sense.
Of like running back and forth and ringing bells and doing footsteps and creaking doors and things like that. And that we rally together to tell the story together. And hopefully the magic is that over the airwaves, no one could tell that anything was different.
Right.
That's what we're striving for. And it's funny because it's kind of a show within a show. So people in the theater, when they hear it go on the air, we're basically doing what you and I are doing right now. It's like on the radio.
And no one can see us.
Blessedly.
Except that's not what you're really dealing with in your performance.
No, because they would have had a live audience. And so we asked the audience to kind of do two things. Watch the sort of machinations that are going on to make this story come across, but also to use their imaginations and listen a little bit and go on the journey just like the people at home would be listening to the broadcast, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of frantic, maybe farcical blocking to get it done?
There is some of that. It's not the largest space, and there's a lot of stuff there and microphones, so hopefully it's controlled chaos, which we've orchestrated carefully, you know, over our rehearsals and stuff like that. Because there's definitely the time pressure, because it's a live broadcast. So as soon as it goes on the air, you have to do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, the story is timeless, classic.
I think so. I feel like it's interesting that we're, you know, we're opening at this time of year and we go through Christmas, because I think it embodies Thanksgiving and Christmas, because you have to look around at your own life and take stock of what's good about it, even when be thankful for it, even when things look bad and you're concerned about money or whatever it is. Then there's the rebirth aspect of Christmas time, where I don't know how well people know the story of It's a Wonderful Life, but things get so bad with this main character, George Bailey, that he decides that if he killed himself, the insurance money would benefit everyone in his family. And that's how he could pay off these debts and things like that. And just at the moment where he's deciding that that's the best option, an angel intervenes and says, now, wait a second. You really think that if you died, your life, that everyone would be happier? Let's take a moment. And so he takes him around and shows him what the world would be like if he had never been born. Which is really interesting to think. I mean,
yeah, because it's like the butterfly effect. You touch so many things.
Exactly. And a lot of times we could just smile at someone on the street and not realize the impact that would have. So I do think that also in these days of people afraid to even answer their phone, they just text back. They don't want that kind of interaction. I think there's something sad about that, because when we choose to interact, we have no idea what the positive impact we can make on other people's lives, you know? And I think that underneath all that technology and rush and holiday stress, people are yearning to connect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a chance for people to go on that journey with these characters, but also just to think a little bit about their own lives and, hey, how did I impact people? And what am I grateful for? And what's my second chance? And could I start over in the new year? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York presents It's a Wonderful Life live from WVL Radio Theater through December 22nd. CapitolRep.org for ticket and showtime information. Wynn Harmon, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.